glory?
Yes.
Should be a little more excited about it than that. Are you glad to have your name written down in glory?
Amen.
We're going to keep on that same beat and sing the Lily of the Valley. I found a friend in Jesus who's everything to me. Are you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Let's sing together. Well, I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest loving mountain to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to bless and make me fully more. In sorrow is my comfort, in trouble is my stay. He tells me everything.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's good to be together again today.
Amen.
It just seems like it gets better and better and better as time goes on. Amen?
Amen.
You know why that is? Because we're closer and closer and closer for the Lord coming to take us home. Amen. I'm so glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad you are today as well. I want to take just a moment today to welcome any of you that are with us today. This is your very first time at Nettles Island Church. At service with us up here in the rec hall. We have this little saying that started years ago, way before I got here, that through the week it's a recreation center, but on the weekend it becomes a re-creation center. So trust God today to do something great and big and to create something wonderful in your life. Amen. How many of you are here today for the very, very first time? Our ushers are ready. We've got a little gift. And all we're asking you to do is slip a hand up and hold it up high until we can get our gift into your hands as a way of saying thank you today. Now, there's a little card that goes with that gift, and it's totally up to you. We're not, no pressure, but if you'd like to, we'd love to have just a little contact information, a record, so we can send you a card this week and thank you for coming. And if you fill that out, you can drop that little card in the offering plate as you leave today. All right, so thank you so much for being here with us. And we're going to give you our great big Nettles Island Church welcome. Thank you so much. God bless you again. God bless you. Amen. Did we miss anybody as we're moving around? Did anybody still not get a gift that needs a gift? Okay, just checking today. All right, a couple of announcements that I want to go over with you. Number one is that a few folks have asked us about the announcement that we had made a couple of months ago about increasing our security here at the church. And at that time we said that all the doors, once church got started, all the doors that come into this hall would be locked. You could still get out. Push bars are there. If we ever need to go in a hurry, we can get out. But we would lock all the doors except the last door. And then about a month now, this side door has been unlocked. So there are two doors that are unlocked. The reason this door is unlocked is that there are folks that are outside, they're not part of church, and they felt a concern because of the AED for if there's any heart trouble. There's an AED on the wall right there. And so they are not able to get to that very quickly if this door is locked. I thought, well, they could just bang on the door and say, hey, let me in. But, you know, that was my humor, not theirs. Okay, nobody laughed at that. And so we made this the decision to unlock this door so that we could be accommodating to the community so that if they need ever to have that access to the AED for heart issues, that would be available. The rest of the doors behind us coming up the stairs, coming in from back here, all of that's going to stay secured. In fact, that reminds me, and I'm not going to take the time today, but in your bulletin is an insert And in a couple of weeks, we're going to have an opportunity after service, right after service, be about a 20-minute break or a half an hour break. Then we're going to get into some teaching and some instruction on what to do in the event of you're ever in a situation with an active shooter. We pray that it never happens. And the risk of that is not super great, but we still need to be prepared. And this will work not just if you're sitting in a church somewhere, but if you're at the mall or you're at the grocery store. The information will be a wealth of knowledge that you want to be here for that. And we are working very hard. Our security director, Joe Schell, is working very, very hard to secure us and protect us. And we talk about these things a lot as leadership, as board. And so keep that in mind. Don't be afraid. Don't be panicky. It's nothing like that. But we're just doing our part to just be responsible so that we can keep all of us nice and safe and free from distractions more than anything else. I want to say today that it's a delight. And in just a few moments, we're going to install with prayer our new board members. And I'll explain that in just a moment. We'll call them forward in just a moment. But church photo directory, this would probably be your last Sunday, right? This is the last Sunday that I can make this announcement. If you have not sat, 5 minutes is all you'll need. You need to come to, where's it going to be, right back here? Back here in the back porch on the 10th. There's a table back there. There's a sign-up sheet. We need you to get signed up so that we know we can have our photographers and our people here. There's also a little slip of paper, a third of a sheet of paper. You can take that with you, fill out your name and address and the important things that we'll need for the directory, especially print very, very plainly so we get the spellings right and all of that. But this is the last opportunity, the last time you'll hear me talk about it for a long, long while, but the church photo directory. All right, well, praise the Lord. We're going to do something that's unique and special, and it's a little different than what we've done in the past. Those of you that are regular attenders and members here at Nettles Island Church, you know that on the first Sunday in February every year, we have an installation. We have a selection process where we talk about how this works and names are put into a box or a container. We pray, and then three names out of the multitude of names are selected. We trust God to give us the names of the people that will serve on our board of directors here at the church. Well, this particular year, there were only three people that said that they would allow their names to run. So three names and three positions open. We thought kind of redundant to be pulling out three names and that's all there is. So what happened at the last board meeting, the board has met. We've interviewed these folks. We've told them what's expected of them and shared with them. And they've asked us questions. And so we're excited today to be able to welcome onto our board for a three-year term Jane Bullhouse. Jane, would you come as I call your names? Gay Cates and Galen Waichi. Come on, stand right up here. Amen. Go ahead and turn face the congregation for a moment. I'll turn you around when it's time to pray. These folks have said yes to a great sense of responsibility and a lot of work to do when you're on the board at Nettles Island Church. But God will give them grace and God will give them the strength and the ability to carry out, to use their gifts and their talents in a great way to advance His kingdom and to bless the name of Jesus. And so we're excited to have them on our board. They're going to begin this week now, a three-year term. We also have three members that have come off the board and the reason that we needed new board members. And I'd like to just name them and appreciate them. And our president for the last 2 years has been Marcia Eaton. She's done a wonderful job as our president. Marcia, where are you? Would you just stand to your feet, Marcia? Stand your feet. Come on up. And then we also are honoring today Ed Featherland Helen Baker. I was talking to Nancy earlier, and Helen Baker. Why don't you guys come on up? Stand right up here next to these folks. They have been just a tremendous blessing to me. And I'm so thankful for your lives and your service to the Lord, what you've done for the Lord, and how you've made my transition the last couple of years work has just been incredible. It's beyond really words of thanks. So we're so grateful for that. And then I'm going to ask the existing board that is still serving, would you come and would you stand right out here? And then I'm going to turn these three around, and then we're going to stand behind them, and we're going to pray a prayer of installation and blessing upon them today. All right, would you three just turn around and face me, and would you guys kind of make a half circle behind them? Just close them in behind them today. Lay a hand on them if you would. And ladies and gentlemen, would you stand to your feet as we pray this morning? God is good, and He's faithful. And God's got a plan for your lives. It's going to take you in a new direction, a new opportunity. My only encouragement to you is to do as I have learned and as I am learning still, to seek the Lord every day and to trust Him with all of my heart. And if you'll seek Him and you'll trust Him, He'll speak to you and He'll give you wisdom and He'll give you direction and He'll lead you and guide you as you have now responsibility to lead us as a congregation together. Would you stretch a hand forward in the congregation just as a sign that you're just praying and agreeing as we pray? Father, we thank you today for this moment and this opportunity. And first and above all else that I would pray, I want to thank you for Marcia and for Helen and for Ed. Lord, they are tremendous, tremendous blessings. They have become friends and co-workers and co-laborers in the field. And Lord, although they're leaving the board, they're not leaving ministry and they're not leaving us. And God, they'll still serve and they'll still minister. But Father, they have given their all and their best these last 3 years. And Father, I pray that you would pour into them as they've poured out over this time period. That you would just give unto them your grace and your blessing and your provision. God, that you would just honor them for the faithfulness of their service. God, keep your hand upon them and rest upon them. Give them health and strength and great days ahead to do great things for you. Now, Father, I thank you today for Jane and for Gay and for Galen. Lord, we just surround them as leaders, and our congregation surrounds them in faith today. Lord, we install them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit right at this moment. God, they are your vessels and they are your servants. They have said yes to a great challenge. Lord, because it's not just the business of the church, but it's the spiritual life. It's the heartbeat of the church that they're being accounted to hold on to and to bring forth and to seek your face so that your will and your purpose and your plan would be accomplished in this church, in this house of faith. And so, Lord, I ask you to bless them today. I ask you to anoint them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would empower them and give them wisdom and give them understanding. And Lord, as we work together, Lord, as they bring what you've given and gifted to them, to this board, Lord, it will just bring a great increase and it will just solidify what is needed in this hour and in this day as we follow hard after you. And so, Lord, we dedicate them to you. Lord, we dedicate Jane and Gay and Galen. We thank you for their lives and we bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for his blessing to us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated out there. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Amen. As the board is taking their seat, the choir is coming to minister to us with a Calvary medley. May God bless them and bless us as we just rejoice and enjoy their beautiful music this morning.
Calvary this morning.
Yes.
Amen. I'm thankful because he died on the cross and he lives today and he lives within our hearts. Sing this chorus with me. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
I know he holds the truth.
Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 40, verse 31, I believe. I might be forgetting it. But there's a passage of scripture, and let me bring it up so I don't quote it wrong here. It says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait." Now that last part's a song. And I wanna sing that. There's a chorus that goes with that, right with that verse. But I wanna tell you what that word wait is, because when I think of wait, I think of waiting on my daughter to get ready when we have to go somewhere. Or waiting in a line. And it's kind of a bad word, right? We don't like to wait for things. But in the Bible, in this verse, that wait means hopeful anticipation. Are you hopefully anticipating the day when He calls you home and we can live with Him forever? And then sing this song with me. "But they that wait upon the Lord, He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait." Sing that again. "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to you."
Let's say it one more time.
"Oh, those who wait,
and we have added some needs this week. There's some needs that got to us last night, and they were not listed in the bulletin. So we want to just make some adjustments to that this morning. We want to pray this morning for missionaries that are related to family here in the church. And speaking of missionaries, what a blessing to have Dick and Nancy Geerling's back with us. They were in Guatemala. We prayed for them all week, and God's been faithful. I told them, I said, "You guys look like you were on a vacation." And they kind of just looked at me. I said, no, don't misunderstand. That's not an insult. When you do the will and the work of God and do it His way, the blessing of God flows. And I know they worked hard, and they labored, and their bodies probably felt it. But they look like they're $1 million today for living for God and honoring God. The Perseys are back. I'm sure they'll be in the next service today. But there's a young couple with two little boys that they're not missionaries that we support, but they're related to family here. They're related to the Benedict family, Connie and Marcia. And they are over right now today in Iraq. There's a lot going on in the Middle East, as you know. We need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for that conflict. We need to pray for Ukraine, the wars, the rumors of wars. I'll tell you, we're living in Bible days today. We're really living in Bible days. But Chase and Megan Fristo, young couple, two little boys. You know, we've got army bases, military bases in Iraq. And the people that are fighting against Israel are fighting against us. And there are groups of people that are sponsored by Iran. And they are sending missiles. And very close, these folks, these missionaries live just a couple of miles from the barracks, the base. And they've been under attack. And so a call came in just or a text yesterday. And would we pray for them? And we're going to pray for Chase and Megan and their boys for protection and safety. We want to add Arthur Brown, who was in the hospital this week. And this little baby, Bodie File, is a little newborn who's having surgery. His great-grandmother is Vivian Summer. We added Stephanie Sidrani. She's friends with the Winners. And Sue Drenth, who's a member here. And Marilyn Juliar. You know, we just said our goodbyes, and she left to go to Savannah last week, and she got to Savannah. She wasn't even there a week, and the daughter that she was going to be near passed away. Her daughter Nancy passed away. And I've been in contact with Marilyn. We've prayed, we've talked, but she needs our prayers today. You know, those are some things just happening. You just don't quite understand how things work, but we have to trust that God is great and God doesn't make any mistakes. And so in your bulletin, it says here that there's an address for Marilyn. And I just found out last night that she's going to now be moving to Minnesota. So this address won't be current. I'm not sure what the date of the move, the next move is, but stay tuned for information on that. John Friends had heart surgery just on Friday. He's doing remarkably well. He's still in the ICU. And so we want to remember them. And then I look at all these other needs on our list this morning. You know, this is a big list. It's great, isn't it? But how many know God's greater? How many know that God, that with God nothing is impossible? We know with God ask and seek and knock and the door will be opened unto us. Don't ever stop praying. Just ask God for more faith. God, increase my faith as I pray. God is going to work and do great things. He is doing great things in people's lives. And, you know, every so often I'll get a testimony about something great God is doing, and it's because of prayer. So we want to continue to pray. So would you do me a favor, if you're able today, just to stretch your legs and change your position before we go into the Word in a moment. Would you stand to your feet again if you feel like it, if you're able. If you want to sit, you can sit. But this will just give you a chance to stretch your legs as we stand. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to minister to these needs. How many of you would say, Pastor, when you pray, don't forget about me. I've got a burden on my heart today. Across this room, hands going up all over the place. We've got burdens. We've got needs. Let's remember that our God is more than enough today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this moment of prayer. Thank you for allowing us to come together, Lord, as a family of God, as a people of faith. Lord, the Bible says if two will agree, God, in this room are probably 200. So that's magnified even as we unify in our faith. Lord, we're thankful today that you've brought the Perseys and the Gearlings back to us safely. We're thankful for the work that you accomplished through them. And God, that's a work that will go on through life and into eternity. God's souls will be transformed and changed. And just do blessing upon blessing in those countries of Peru and Guatemala. Father, this morning we want to pray for Chase and Megan and their boys. Lord, as they are there, as they are sharing the gospel with Muslim people, God, as they're pouring their lives out, put your hedge around them and protect them and keep them safe. Lord, use them mightily. God, we pray for Arthur and Bodie and Stephanie and Sue and Marilyn and John today, these that we've added. And we pray for the rest of the names on this list. And we pray for the hands that were raised in this house of faith today, Lord. Father, there is nothing that's more than you can handle. There's nothing that's too big. We have all seen the work of God. We can all testify that our God is a God of healing, a God of victory, a God of deliverance, a God who cares and has great compassion for his children. And Father, I pray today that your blessing would fall upon us, and that whatever the need is, whatever respect it is, if it's for healing, that the great physician would step in. If it's for a peace of mind, that the God who gives peace would come. If it's for joy, if it's for finances, if it's for health, whatever it might be, God, today, that you would bring your touch and your victory and your power into our lives. Father, we are asking today as we come before your throne in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we shared last week how Peter and John, they had no money to give the man, but they had something so much greater, their faith in what you can do. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that man rose up and walked. And let, Lord, just be that to us today. Be that mighty God in faith today as we trust in you and put our faith in you. Just come and minister and heal and do mighty things. Father, we ask today your blessing upon the word of God as we preach in just a moment, upon your servant, upon our ears, that we might open up our hearts, that we might receive today, and that the word of God would have impact to do what it's designed to do, and that's to change us from the inside out and to make us more like you and to build up our faith, to increase our love and our desire for you. We ask these things again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning. Amen. You have your Bibles? You have your Bibles this morning? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Talk about all that security stuff. That's what we're doing. I saw Joe back there jump up and get ready to grab the tools in his tool belt, if you know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Joe, for being right on the spot. I don't know if that was the Lord or the devil, to be honest. It sure gave us a moment of levity. It could have been the Lord trying to get our attention or the devil trying to distract us. I'll let you know if I get anything this week on what that was all about. But God's faithful and he's great and he's good. And maybe I should just say that that's kind of like an example. I mean, I couldn't ask for something better to say you should probably be at that meeting in a couple of weeks and talk about safety, right? Amen. All right, Lord, we're going to get into this thing now. We're enough of the surprises, right? Okay. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 is our text this morning. And I want to talk to you about living the blessed life. And I want you to know this morning as I get into this that I am a pastor that believes that God has desires and wants to bless his children very much. He desires to bless us. We'll get into some of that. And because I say that doesn't mean that life doesn't have its issues and hardships. And we'll see that here in just a little bit. But as I was praying and thinking about this week and after coming off of last week and talking about the name of Jesus and the power that's in the name of Jesus and how names are important, I thought about this guy in the Bible whose name is Jabez. You probably know about him, but we're going to talk about him for a little bit this morning. And so the reality is as we see his life and as we follow the examples of it, we will be able to put ourselves in a position as we pray that God's blessings will follow us and his goodness will follow us all the days of our life. So let's look at this passage together. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that,'" now this is important, "'that I may cause no pain,'" or "that I may not cause pain." And the Bible says that God granted him what he requested. Now, up until about 20 years ago or so, nobody probably really knew. Even in the church realm, we didn't even know who Jabez was. But a guy by the name of Bruce Wilkinson wrote a little tiny book called The Prayer of Jabez and went through all of that. And you may have read that 20 or so years ago, but it was kind of the rage way back then. And like a lot of things, it goes up to the top and then it peaks and it kind of finds a place somewhere on the side as new things and new understandings come our way. But for ages and ages, Jabez, his name and his story had remained tucked away in the pages of one of the least read chapters of the Bible. I'm not going to ask you today, but if I said, hey, who was in devotions this week and getting a whole lot out of reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles? If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. It's a duty. It's something that we do as a duty unto the Lord as we read through the names and all that goes through it. So here's this Jobez, and he's obscure, but yet God in the last days has brought him to the mainstream, not because of anything notable that he did, but because of this famous prayer. In fact, this is all we have on Jabez. The prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles is buried in the 9th straight chapter of genealogical lists. Chapter 1 through chapter 9, genealogy, name after name. This one begat that one, and that one begat that one, and that one begat that one. When I was a teenager, I would always try to get one of those little Bible helps to read through the Bible in a year, and you read what each day has and put the check mark in there. And when I would get to this passage, I have to confess to you guys, I would be like, and John begat Sam, and Sam, oh my goodness, and then I take my finger and I do this. And I go to the next page, I go, God, you know that I'm not going to read through all that because I can't do it. And yet look what I missed by not doing that. But it's buried in the 9 chapters of genealogical lists among hundreds of individuals whose names that we probably never heard of, and most, in fact, probably would have trouble even if we tried to pronounce them. But when we diligently trudge through this verse, these verses in the pages and the chapters of this Old Covenant book, we discover right here this nugget of gold that's buried within this short, concise prayer that jumps off the page and it grabs our attention. And it's significant because of who Jabez was and what he was asking God to do for him. Jabez offers a prayer to God asking God to bless him. And in this prayer, he's asking God to change the course and the direction of his life that had been imposed upon him the moment that he uttered his first cry on the day that he was born. And God answers that prayer with a confirming yes. Now, this story tells me that God is able to change our lives and our circumstances for the better. This story tells me that God has a heart and a desire to bless his children. This story tells me that God is delighted when we come to him like Jabez did and we ask that he would bless us. And part of our praying is, God, would you bless my life? Now, I want to say first and foremost that the greatest blessing that you and I have ever received or will ever have is the blessing of forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life that we find at the foot of the cross through Jesus Christ. That's the greatest blessing. If you're saved today, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, everything else that God can offer to us is subpar to what that blessing is, because that is a blessing that takes us all the way home, all the way to eternity. And when we get there, we're going to be walking on streets of gold. We may pray on earth, God, I need a little help with my finances. The bank account's gotten awful slim. But you know that the economy in heaven is such that God's got pure gold in heaven and we're walking on it. You know, we have blacktop and concrete here, and it's not worth a whole lot, but the streets of heaven are paved with gold. And God's greatest blessing was to redeem us, to buy us back, and to put our name in heaven so that when he calls us, or when that rapture takes place and we're caught up in the air, we'll spend forever and ever with him in his presence. And the greatest delight won't be the streets of gold. It'll be the face of our Savior when we meet with Jesus. Every other gift, every other blessing that God bestows on us, nothing wrong with asking for blessings, but every one, as wonderful as they are, don't come close to this gift of amazing grace. But isn't it good to know this morning that as children of God, that he desires to bless us? As Christians, we can ask him to bless our lives, and that he blesses us in so many ways. I think of Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, where Jesus points out this. He says, if we know how to give good things to our children, how much more does our Father in heaven want to give good things to us who are his children? He's not talking about just eternal blessing there, but he's talking about caring for us as we trudge through this life in this world that we're in. I think of Psalm 84, verse 11, that says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor." Now look at this. "No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Do you remember I said, it might have been last week or the week before, I said, sometimes I'll pray and I'll hear God say, yes, and then the blessing or the answer comes. Sometimes he says, not right yet. Sometimes he says, no. And sometimes he says, Rob, you really got to be kidding. You're really going to ask me that? And I love this verse because look what it says. No good thing. No good thing. God knows what's good for us. He knows what's best for us. So when we're praying and we're praying and we're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking and the answer isn't coming our way, there's a good time there somewhere in that process to stop and say, God, you're not really saying yes right now. Are you telling me to wait? Are you saying no? Are you saying, like Rob says, this is not going to happen. You got to be kidding. Because God's not going to give me something that's going to hurt me and draw me away from him. You know, I might ask for $10 million. I remember a time that my dad, when he was a young pastor, and we were just little bitty kids, and he was doing what's called a pioneer church work. He was pioneering a church. That means you start a church from scratch. And there were like seven people in the church, and they took an offering. They paid the rental hall fee, and they gave my dad what was left was $20 and said, this is all we have. And there were five of us. And I remember my dad telling this in his sermons as I got older. He prayed one time at that time, God, would you just give me $1 million? What I could do for you if you give me $1 million? And God spoke to his heart and said, well, Ralph, what are you doing with the dollar that's already in your pocket? You see, so sometimes God will help us. God knows if that $1 million or $1 billion, whatever it takes nowadays, is going to draw us to him or affect us in a negative way. He's never going to give us what I asked for if it's going to be harmful to me. And that's why I love this verse. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in his ways blameless. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we see, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? We talked about that the first Sunday of the year. And what does he promise us in that? All of these things will be added unto you if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's talking about, earlier he talked about clothing and shelter and food. And it's the needs of life. It's the necessities that you and I need to be secure and to have a sense of comfort in our lives. Now, understanding that there are going to be moments. I'm not standing here saying we get saved and then all of a sudden we just have, you know, the golden scepter and then everything just always works out and that there aren't any tests and there aren't any trials in life. We're going to face challenges and we're going to face difficulties and there are going to be hardships and some things that are going to seem impossible at times to us. Some of you may be going through those today. But God will always use those for our spiritual growth and to bring us closer to him in relationship with him if we keep our eyes on him, if we don't get angry with him and turn away from him and say, if this is the way it is, I'll go do it myself. There are people that have done that. They've turned from the faith because of a hard time. Think of Job. Job is one of my heroes. He's the poster child for difficult days. He never gave up on God. And God took care of him. Yes, he went through some hard times. But God was faithful in those hard times, and God was faithful at the end of that and blessed his life. The Bible, though, tells us that our Father, our Heavenly Father, he wants to bless us. First and foremost with spiritual blessings, but also with provisional needs. So I want us to look at Jabez's life of prayer and understand this point a little bit. You know, Jabez was born in a Middle Eastern culture. And it was customary that people would be given names that would be significant. I mentioned that, I think, last week or the week before, so I'm not going to belabor that. But Jabez gets this name, and who would want this name? It means one who causes pain. Jabez. It meant pain, it meant affliction, it meant sorrow. And evidently, the circumstances which surrounded his birth were extremely difficult for his mom. We're not told what it was, but perhaps it was a breech birth, or perhaps it was an illegitimate birth, because it says that his mother named him. There's no mention of a dad here. We can only speculate. I don't know that for a fact. Maybe it was an illegitimate situation. Maybe it was an unintended birth, or an unwanted mouth to feed, or maybe even a product of abuse or crime. But whatever the reason, his mother gave him the name that became a constant curse in his life. Jabez, everybody knew what it meant. It meant you're a causer of pain. And the scholars think that he began to act that out. You know, if you tell somebody you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything. If you maybe know of people in law enforcement, I would deal with crises in people's families and homes, and I would see how people talk to their spouses or husbands or to their children. You'll never amount to anything. And that little boy grows up and he goes into crime and he never amounts to anything good because of the curse that's put on him. Think about that with Jabez. Your name means pain, causer of pain. But his biblical name didn't just describe the circumstances of the birth, it described his destiny. What his parents saw that he would or would not become. And biblical names could define and limit a person's future. And with a name like causer of pain, Jabez's future didn't look very bright. Each time somebody called his name, they were declaring his character. And more importantly, his future. Reinforcing over and over and over into his ears and into his thoughts and into his mind, you will be a causer of pain. Everyone expected Jabez to mistreat people, to be evil, to do bad things. Jabez probably just expected that of himself. But somehow, in this little passage between all the genealogies, there's this prayer that one day Jabez comes to some place where he understands that he can get out of this if he turns to God. And he cries out to God, and he cries out that God would bless his life. And he cries out to the God of Israel. He doesn't just say, God, I need some real help here. He cries out to the God of Israel. He doesn't just pray, Father or God. He says, I'm asking the God of Israel. You see, I think Jabez had been to Sunday school somewhere, and he knew the stories of the patriarchs. And he knew that Jacob, the patriarch Jacob, we talked about him and what his name meant, supplanter, deceiver, and how he wrestled with God all night. The angel of the Lord was a pre-incarnate Jesus coming down, and God and Jacob wrestled all night, and Jacob cried out and said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Sometimes we have to press in hard for the blessings of God to come. And so the Lord, the angel of the Lord, touched him and he was blessed, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And his name means Prince of God. He was the Prince of God. And look what happened. He had 12 sons, and then out of them, out of the tribe of his son Judah, came the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And great things happened after God turned his life around. And I believe Jabez thought of that, and that said, if God could do that for Jacob and change his name and change his destiny, God can do that for me. And I ask you, God, to bless me, and to work in my life. And so I want to break this down into just three components this morning of Jabez's prayer very, very quickly this morning. Number one, Jabez in his prayer prays these things. Number one, he said, bless me indeed. Bless me. When he started the prayer, he said, God, bless me indeed. And so what I see in that is that there's no limit. He didn't limit his request. He didn't say, oh God, I'd just be happy with this little bit here. He just let it up to God. He said, God, I want a blessing indeed. That word indeed can be translated out absolutely or bless me very much. He was asking for the lion's share. He was asking for all that God desired to bless him. Not a little bit of the blessing, but all of the blessing. He asked for a comprehensive full blessing of the Lord. And in our prayers, you and I should not be afraid to ask God for his abundant blessings in every area of our lives. But start with the spiritual first. God, keep me close to you. Don't be afraid to ask God for his blessings based on his many promises that we find in the Bible, for healing, for finances, for peace, for joy, for rest, for all that God wants to do, for wisdom, for direction. You see, God's not stingy with his blessings, and he delights in pouring them out upon his children. So point number one is don't limit God. Ask big, believe, and expect big. Number two, we see in here that Jabez prayed this after he said, bless me indeed. He said, enlarge my territory. Now, Jabez wasn't asking to own all of the Middle East or to become a wealthy land baron. It had nothing to do with physical land, but Jabez was seeking God for an expansion of his influence and his impact upon the lives of others. Enlarge my territory, enlarge my influence, enlarge the way people see me. They've seen me as this guy, they've run from me because of my past, but God, I want to be different, and I want you to use me for your glory and for your honor and for your kingdom. And as believers, we should pray for God to broaden our reach and our effectiveness in sharing his love and his truth with members of our families, our friends, our neighbors, the cashier at the grocery store, wherever we go. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 30, that he that wins souls is wise. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be praying, start praying and seeking God. Operation Andrew, you saw it in the back of your bulletin. More information will come on that. And I want you to just be a part of that wonderful thing. He that wins souls is wise. I preached this a long time ago, but in heaven, there's a crown that is given out to people who are soul winners. It's called the soul winner's crown. And the only people that get those and get to wear those through all of eternity are people who've shared the gospel with others and brought people to Jesus so that he could save them. They're the ones that get to wear this crown. He that wins souls is wise. Jabez was praying, enlarge my influence, enlarge the impact of my life in a positive way on other people. God can open doors and provide opportunities beyond our imagination when we ask and trust him to enlarge our territories. God wants us to ask that he bless us, that we become people who impact the lives of others for Christ and for eternity. And then number three, Jabez's prayer was, and your hand, let your hand be upon me. Let your hand be upon me. Jabez recognized the need and the importance of God's presence in his life every day. He knew that he didn't want to live one more day not knowing and experiencing a close connection of fellowship and intimacy with God. And so Jabez is asking God to walk so closely to him, side by side, that he can feel the hand of God, so to speak, figuratively speaking, that he can sense. He wants God so close that if it were physical, that God would be walking so close that he's got his arm around his shoulder and he's got his hand on him. How close is that? Do you desire that? Do you hunger and thirst for that in your life? God, I want to know you more. God, my desire is to know you. If I ask you this morning, do you know who George Washington is? Everybody's going to say, oh yeah, he's a first president, the father of our country. He was a great warrior. He led us in victory over. But we don't know him. We know about him. We can know. We can read the history books or the biographies of him. And we can learn a lot of things, but you've never met him and you really don't know him. You can be a scholar that's all you study and you got your doctorate in George Washington. You'd be the person that knows of him the most. But if you never met him and you never fellowshiped with him, you don't know him. You know about him. And there are people that sit in churches week after week that know about God. They hear sermons. They've picked up a Bible. They've read. But they really don't know Jesus personally. They don't know Jesus. Today you can make that choice by asking him to become your personal Savior and Lord. Jabez is saying, I want to know you. When he says, let your hand rest upon me, put your hand on my shoulder, walk so closely with me that I don't spend a minute of my days, that you're the first thing I think about when I wake up, the last thing I'm thinking about when I'm sleeping. I might even dream about you, Lord, and I just want to know you, and I want to be more in tune with you than I ever have been before. The Apostle Paul lived his life like that. Philippians 3:10, he said, that I might know Christ. That I might know him. That I might know Christ. Like Jabez, let's pray that God would walk so close with us that his hand would rest upon us and lead us as we navigate life's challenges, yet finding strength in his presence. We can make it if God is with us. The Bible says, if God is for me, who can be against me? But can you imagine if God is for me and he's standing right here with his arm around your shoulder when you're going through that test or that thing? You're going to come out the other side victorious. You're going to come out the other side blessed. You're going to come out the other side knowing him more and deeper and in fellowship with him. And then very quickly, the last, and this is my closing point, Jabez prayed, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. He said that you would keep me from evil, that I may cause no pain. That I may cause no pain. Jabez understood the need of the blessing of God for divine protection. That we need protection. We preached on that in the name of Jesus. The three things that give us victory over Satan and protect us. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. The devil has to bow to those things. But I don't believe that that's exactly what Jabez is asking for. Because he says that I would keep me from evil that I may cause no pain. He was tired of what he had been. He didn't want to cause pain to anybody anymore. And so it seems that this prayer is focused on the danger of the evil that existed within his heart. The Bible says that our hearts are wicked. God has saved us. Our spirit, we're saved. But our flesh, in our flesh, there's no good thing, the Bible says. And so Jabez is saying, God, I want you to purge me. I want you to work in my heart. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be, in his day, I want to be more like you, Father of God. In our day, I want to be more like Jesus. Protect me from the enemy within that I might cause no pain to other people. And so with us, there are things that are in us that still require our sanctification. The tugs and the desires and the impulses that could lead us down a path. It's not a path toward God if we're not asking God. So he prays and he says, God, protect me from evil. Protect me from the enemy. That's that. We can see that in there. But protect me from when the hour of temptation comes. Keep me safe. Keep me following you. Keep my eyes on you in the hour of temptation in my life. The remarkable part of Jabez's story is the outcome. Because the Bible says the very last part of that verse, verse 10, says God granted his request. Oh, it's a testimony to the responsiveness of our Heavenly Father. And when we approach him with sincere, heartfelt prayers. And so we reflect that the prayer of Jabez, as we reflect on it, let's be inspired to pray with boldness, trusting God with his goodness and his faithfulness, that we, like Jabez, will experience God's transforming power of prayer to experience God's blessings in our lives. I close with this verse that I read earlier, but a different translation, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a safe covering. The Lord gives favor and honor. He holds nothing good from those who walk in the way that is right. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Father, we just pray this morning as we just close this day. We close this service, God, with prayer and with asking you to just minister to our hearts. Lord, I know we moved through this thing kind of quickly, but God, I think that we got the principles and the points across. God, when we think of blessing, let us first and foremost think about how you might bless our hearts to desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Lord, when that's the desire of our heart, Lord, I trust it as the Word of God says here, that all the things that we're going to need, that you'll withhold no good thing from us. God, there are people sitting here today that need, they need blessing. They need your touch. We prayed earlier. They raised hands. And God, I pray that as we walk out of this place, we wouldn't go out of here just with a wonderment, God, are you really there for me? But that we would know that we know that we know that we serve a great and mighty God who is faithful. And he's able to save us. He's able to heal us. He's able to deliver us. He's able to give us peace and joy. And God, you want to do those things. But our heart has to chase after you. What good would it be to have all the wealth of the world and all the health and miss heaven by just an inch and spend eternity separated from those things, but more importantly from you? Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never given their heart to you, in the moment that we close, where they said, if they would just ask you to come into their heart, forgive them of their sins, cleanse them of their unrighteousness, that they would accept you and receive you and your gift of salvation, your sacrifice for them, and take you as Savior and Lord of their lives. The Bible says if they confess that, they would be saved. Lord, just don't let anybody leave today that doesn't know that Jesus is Savior and Lord of their lives. Greatest blessing that's ever been given. Bless your people today, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. 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 Stand with me. Steve's going to lead us in our closing anthem. Lord bless you and keep you and keep his hand upon you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Give you peace and blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll sing this, and when we're done, we're dismissed. Amen.